Craving your next action-packed adventure? Audible delivers thrills of every kind on your command, like Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, where a lone astronaut must save humanity from extinction, narrated with stunning intensity by Ray Porter. From electrifying suspense and daring quests to spine-tingling horror and romance in far-off realms, unleash your adventurous side with gripping titles that'll keep you guessing. Discover exclusive Audible originals, hotly anticipated new releases, and must-listen bestsellers that hook you from the first minute. Because Audible knows there's no greater thrill than the one that speaks to you. Discover what lies beyond the edge of your seat. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUS. That's audible.com/WonderyUS.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You've got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so you can go do literally anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. We just dropped full audio and video versions of our performance at Yes and Laughter Lab. They did a festival, and we kind of closed out the show for them.
Yeah.
And that's you have to see where we inducted Andrew Tate into our Grass Hole
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Yes. I hope that wasn't a spoiler.
No, I think guys, spoiler alert, we don't like Andrew Tate. We think he's pretty bad.
Well, you know, it's a twist
I'm
in
leaving.
The show, but yes, we don't like Andrew Tate. We'll say that.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can give us is to tell your friends, tag us in a story, and we will repost it. You know that we are online
always. And speaking of online, you must simply go to YouTube. Simply go to YouTube and subscribe to our Go Touch Grass page. There, we have new episodes every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And our statistics show that more men watch us on YouTube than more women. And I think at the end of the episode, I'm going to tease a poll. So we want to make sure your voice is heard.
Okay.
So skew our votes because we did get DDG hate. I didn't show you, but the men are angry that
fans have found us.
The DDG
God
fans
bless.
Are like, you guys need to stop acting like Haley isn't crazy. It's like, okay. So please help us out there.
Guys, okay. And I am just thinking about like, hey, boys, welcome to our YouTube. Anyway, we are so excited for our guest who we have in studio today. She is a comedian. She's a podcast host. She's the author of a memoir. I'm laughing because I'm crying. It's Young Mi Meyer.
Woo! Woo!
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I kind of wish the title of the book was I'm laughing because you're crying. That's funnier.
That's pretty funny. I know. I was like, I made it mean.
Yeah. Book about my sister.
No, because you can't call it Hairy Butthole.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to call it. Well, yeah. Well, because it was, based on the Korean saying, if you laugh while crying, hair grows out of your butthole.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that's a popular Korean saying. And so I was like, oh, can I call it Hairy Butthole? Or can I call it if you laugh while crying, hair grows out of your butthole? And they're just like, no.
No, yeah, probably not.
No,
that's a
no.
different kind of book.
Also a book about my sister.
Your sister and her hairy ass is getting roasted on the Don't Touch Grass podcast.
Literally.
That's all here. You're not here to talk about work. We're not here to talk about internet. It's just about your sister.
No, actually, I'm like writing a second book proposal right now about dating. And it's all about like, you know, like men that I've dated. But I know that sounds very anti-feminist, but I could explain. But well, now I'm like, what if I call it I'm Laughing Because You're Crying?
I know.
For that
good.
Book.
Because I'm just saying.
That's all the stories in there. Let me tell you.
I'm saying that as somebody who's your friend.
Yeah.
The way you block guys is like, it gives me chills down my spine. Like for me, if I have an ex who's been, was really toxic and is still trying to maintain contact, I'll have 6 therapy sessions to talk about whether I should think about muting him. She's like, didn't like how he said good morning. Block.
Honestly,
wait, how do you know that about me? Did I tell you
this? Because we were talking and you're like, I'm about to go on a date with this guy. He's meeting me at the park, but I'm going to block.
I said that?
Never mind, never mind.
I forgot. I blocked so much.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
That's inspiring. That is inspiring.
My favorite move is like as they're leaving the door, block.
That's
like,
what she
does. As you close the door.
That's what I'm like, wow, dude. That's fucking, and maybe, you know what? People need to read a book on that.
Yeah, that's what the book's going to be about.
That's beautiful. Okay, when...
We didn't even get to our question.
No, I know, but this is kind of related, semi-related. Yeah. Anyway, when I was Googling you, as I always Google our guests...
I've never Googled you.
An article in Paper Magazine popped up, and the title was, Young Me Meyer is Gen Z's cool Weijin auntie. Do you identify with this title?
Okay, first of all, I don't mind it. Like, I think Asian...
I was going to call you MILF, but cool.
MILF is fine.
Asian auntie is cool.
Auntie.
Oh, but you feel like auntie feels older?
Wait, I don't think... Is there like a sexy aunt trope? No. That's so weird.
And there should be.
Yeah, that's actually more appropriate than I want to fuck my mom, but you know. There was an Oedipus about... Oedipus wasn't fucking his TT, you know?
There is no sexy aunt. There's no like aunt, sexy aunt porn. It's like stepmom porn. That's
so
weird.
I'm sure that we could find sexy aunt.
There's probably sexy aunt.
Sexy aunt and sexy aunt as in the bug. I'm sure we could find it all, but I do think it is interesting that stepmom and MILF
and stepsister.
But not aunt.
I feel like there's like the trope, you know, like the Democrat, like liberal aunt that comes in. She's vegan. Like there's that trope.
Yes.
I mean,
cool aunt
your
trope.
Angled haircut is saying that you are that person.
No,
too.
I have the Karen right now because I like bleached my hair and it burnt off.
So the
I had
back
to get
is short.
Cut. So it's the literal fucking Karen.
No.
Okay, but you're
against
like,
my will.
No, but you're like battling that. You know, you got a lot of your power clashing.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
You have a cool heel. Like, you're not getting those allegations.
Yeah.
Like
the other my style elements that you open. Have going on.
Counteracting.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool Democrat aunt.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you had like a Lilo and Stitch shirt saying like whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
I
that would be like someone's manager is getting called.
Yeah,
today.
Exactly. The manager is getting called on somebody today.
On somebody. Somebody.
Well, listen, young me, you have 540,000 followers on TikTok. How did you get started on that platform and what inspires your content there? Do you have like a strategy behind it, like, and how you post? I just have to say, I'm your friend. We know each other. I respect you as a comic, but your TikTok, like, I be watching your TikToks. Like, they're really good. I feel like I learned so much, you know?
I don't know. I, like, stopped posting on TikTok regularly, like, probably maybe over a year ago now, which is really crappy because, like, I remember last summer, I think it was last summer, they started the creators whatever program thing. And I didn't really look into it. But then I was just posting videos and they would get, like, I don't know, like a... One of them got like 2 million views or something. And there's like $2,500 in my bank account from TikTok.
Yeah.
And so like they were at that point, they were giving so much money for that. And I fucking just missed the boat because I wasn't paying attention. And I remember there were like 3 months in a row where I got like $3,000 from TikTok. Totally. But then apparently now they don't give that much money. But before then, I had stopped using TikTok because I was like writing the book. And like, I just feel like it just got really exhausting. And I feel like social media right now is really... weird, like how everything has shifted, and you know, nothing is like really hitting, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think it goes to, what's that word? It's like the in-shitification of the internet. Mm. I think that TikTok and a lot of these apps are really becoming significantly shittier to the point where the experience of using them is not that good. Like right now for me, because I have bought stuff on the TikTok shop.
Oh my God.
Every single thing on my TikTok is an ad to a point where like it is not enjoyable to use TikTok anymore in the same way because I'm constantly being advertised stuff that the TikTok shop should know I actually have already purchased.
That's the like, dumbest thing about the internet.
It's like you buy already it got me, dog.
One time for the rest of your life, you will get ads for that thing. I'm like, I have it already.
I know. I'm like, I bought the Wavy Talk brush. I use it.
I also did buy the Wavy Talk brush.
What's the Wavy Talk brush?
Exactly.
It's like a thermal, it's just like a blowout brush. It's good, but I'm saying like, you guys know that I have it and you know I bought it semi-recently. I don't need another Wavy Talk brush.
Confession, I literally got a nut milk maker, like an oat milk and a nut milk maker. It literally makes,
I kind of like, want that.
Yeah, but then I've been making my own oat milk.
Guys, I've always heard blender? You got a nut milk maker.
Yeah, I know. I got a nut milk maker. No, I bought my pussy on TikTok shop. No, but I'll say that what I liked about your TikTok is that it's kind of like, which is what TikTok is doing. I loved your Thailand content and your Korea content. Mm. And like, it just feels like a travel show for somebody who wouldn't have a travel show. Like, I don't know. It's interesting because it's like at the end of the day, like when everything becomes corporate, it gets shitty. Like when it's just ads all the time. But I just say I really loved your Thai content.
Thank you. Well, I think you're asking about like my strategy or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really have one, but I remember I was like trying really hard to diversify the content back when I was like growing it and like I was trying to do that. And I'm glad I did it then because now I'm like, I have no energy. And it's like led to so many, you know, like especially as entertainers, I think you get a lot of job opportunities that way. But now I'm so fucking tired. It's so boring.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's something a lot shifted to maintain. Yeah, I agree. And also, I do think that TikTok actually now rewards sameness.
Mid content. Like, yeah.
They just want you to make the same video over and over and over again. So even if someone is like genuinely talented and has good ideas, at a certain point, because TikTok just wants you to do the same character over and over again, which kind of ties into something we'll be talking about later, I do feel like you end up making more mid content because trying something new, TikTok doesn't always like actually value reward, that. Yeah. And once you're in a place of, oh, this is my job, you have to do what it's gonna reward you for.
Also, I think like the way that I saw a lot of my content creator friends, I think during the when the ads were like popping off, and that's like probably around when I stopped using it. Like it's been like almost 2 years now, I would say, that I have not been regularly doing TikToks. I saw a lot of my content creator friends that, you know, were way bigger than me doing so many ads. And I was like, oh, I know you're fucking making so much money off of this. And if I knew how much money you were making, that's like the kind of content creator I would become, which I do not want to.
Yeah.
But obviously they're probably making, I don't even know. I'm guessing they're probably making like, if you're making like 10, 15 grand a month from selling the fucking pink vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, this is the best thing you've ever had.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I got that one too.
I got that too and it sucked.
It fucking sucked.
It didn't suck is the problem.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Wow. It didn't work well. Didn't suck. Wow. It broke immediately.
Okay, this actually segues us perfectly into our first segment for today. We are doing a bit of a software update. This is our segment where we update everyone on something we discussed in the past.
Okay.
So there has been an update on the Beige influencer case that we discussed in our episode that came out April 12th, 2024 with Brandon Fall.
Wow. I can't believe that was like over a year ago.
I know. So this story has been being reported by the journalist Mia Sato in The Verge. And we talked about it when her piece first came out. And this was a piece called Bad Influence. There was also one in the New York Times that was called Can You Copyright a Vibe? Which I did like.
It basically jacked all of Mia's.
Yeah, exactly. That's
shit,
why I'm so. Like, it's from Mia.
It's from
I
Mia.
Just think that title.
Copyright a Vibe is good. Yeah,
Can You Copyright a Vibe is kind of essential question of this. So a very, very, very abridged version of this, if you want to hear the longer version, go listen to that episode, is basically, there is a case in Texas where two Texas-based Amazon influencers, so it's like gals who hawk Amazon products on like Instagram and TikTok, affiliate link type stuff. Their names are Sydney Nicole Gifford, who now goes by Sydney Nicole Sloaniker because she has gotten married and Alyssa Scheel. They were in a legal battle because Sydney claimed that Alyssa was stealing her posts and her aesthetic and was suing her for millions of dollars. And the
millions.
Yeah. And the central tension of this story was basically, on the one hand, the aesthetic in question is like a classic beige Amazon influencer style. So if I'll show you the two gals just so you can get eyes on this. So that's the one who is suing. This is Sydney Nicole Gifford.
Okay.
And this is Alyssa Scheel. So, well, you know, beige.
She is sitting, she is in a room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very white, beige, monotone vibe.
They both have hair.
They do.
Obviously, she's copying her.
So these are some of the posts that were supposedly copied. So it's like they're sitting in the car in the same position. Next one. Two different similar phone cases that they're hawking. Them wearing similar outfits. These are the kinds of things that were the basis of the case. So just really quickly, young me, after seeing a couple of these, how do you feel?
I'm going to say this. I think, especially if you're like my age and older, we are not used to seeing so much information all the time. And like, if you're a content creator, you just make so much information all the time. I think what they don't realize is if you make this much content, you can find five pictures that look exactly the same between two content creators. You know what I mean? Like that, I don't think anyone's copying anybody.
So that's the central tension.
That's what I think. But
I do think this last one shook me a little bit.
This last picture
where they're wearing the same two-piece set, the same boots and the same necklace.
So that's kind
of
the thing.
Wait, so the allegation is that one of them is ripping the other off?
Yeah. Yes.
No, that's 100% not happening.
So that is the allegation. And when we went through it in the episode, we did come through where it was like, okay, some of these posts, it's like, you guys are just in the same niche. This is not whatever. And then some of them, like Millie's saying with this outfit post, there is a case to be made that this is very, very similar.
Similar, yeah.
I don't think it's copied at all because it's such a basic, it's just like, you know, like if you, I don't even know what this is called, stylist school. Like if you just have like baseline stylist, whatever,
like
aesthetic
knowledge.
Yeah. And you're, you know, looking at the same shop.
Yeah.
You're going to put this outfit together.
Oh, because, oh, that's true too. It's like they all have to post probably exclusively Amazon products.
Yeah.
Because that's where they get the affiliate link. So there's only so much. And Amazon, even though they do so close, like, it's not that varied. So I could see, like, actually, now that you're saying that they probably all got everything from Amazon, this makes more sense.
I mean, it would be based on, like, how many photos they had. Because, like, let's say they both have, I don't know, 500, 1,000 photos of outfits a month, right? You're going to find five that are the same, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that... Also, even if these aren't Amazon outfits, if they're shopping at the same shops, a lot of times those shops will recommend all the accessories. Like if you're just, they'll recommend all the accessories. So if you're buying everything top down, whatever, from whatever site that you're using, you might end up with the same boots, the same necklace, etc.
I think the crime is that this is a hideous outfit.
I do.
What the fuck?
I don't love it.
It
looks horrible on.
I don't like
these
the big
people that looked extremely
the
attractive.
The flower is disturbing.
That's not good. What the fuck is that? That's horrible.
I'd wear the little two piece. I don't know if I would do it in nude.
No, the color is wrong. This is horrible.
It's giving
who the
hell pebbles. I'm getting like a lot of Flintstones energy
but
from
that's
this.
That's a lot. That's a genre of Gen Z. They like dressing.
I know
like
they
the
do like to look like pebbles.
It looks so
they
bad.
Look like pebbles.
I
they like
know what's
wear
going on.
Like yeah.
So okay,
this case is done.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to get to. So
let's
see. This is the update.
Okay,
you will probably be happy to hear.
Yeah.
That Sydney Gifford has dropped her case against Alyssa Scheel, and both women are asking the judge for it to be dismissed. Scheel's lawyers put out a statement saying she won't be paying Gifford shit. They were like, this case is being dismissed and we're not doing anything. And apparently they were able to point out that some of the photos that Gifford and like said like Scheel was copying, that Scheel had actually taken those photos first. Because remember, it's like these are based on posting dates.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
not necessarily when the photos were taken.
See?
Wow.
So
metadata.
Exactly. You got to think about the metadata. So Sydney Gifford put out a TikTok explaining why she is walking away from the lawsuit. It is fully 5 minutes long, so we're just going to watch We're just going to watch the very end where she kind of states her final feelings.
You know what she should have done is in the video, copy the other person. So look.
Yeah.
In the apology.
I mean, they kind of are because that's what they're all like. She's wearing an all white outfit. I'm sure the other girl is wearing an all white outfit right now.
I would do it just to mess with her. Yeah.
If I were to continue fighting this and bring it to a trial, I would have to spend up to $500,000. I can't do that. I am a new mom and I can't spend that kind of money on a lawsuit, much less the time that it would take away from my baby and my family. I can't do it. So as much as I believe what she did was wrong, I needed to walk away from this. All I wanted from the start was to get her to stop. I never even wanted to bring this to social media. But I know that staying silent will just allow this to happen over and over again to more creators, which is why I needed to share this story. TikTok did remove her post that I considered infringing on my copyright registered post, which is a huge step in TikTok taking creators' rights seriously. I'm not sure why, but months later, TikTok also removed her account. So if you compare her new account now with mine, you're not going to see all the posts that made our accounts look like the same person the way they did in 2023 because they've been deleted. Because of how the media has spun this to seem like it's all a lawsuit over Beige, I have received so much hate. I just hope that sharing this starts bigger conversations to prevent anything like this from happening to other creators. I also pray that she isn't receiving the amount of hate I have. I'm not putting this out there to encourage any type of hate to her, me, anyone. Please remember, we are both real people. This lawsuit has personally taken over my life. I needed to share the truth and these details that the media hasn't, so I can finally close this chapter completely.
That was so boring and beige.
She has a very beige way of delivering what's honestly should be kind of an interesting video.
Yeah, that boring.
I love the part where she says, because the internet has misconstrued this to all be a lawsuit over beige.
It's like, it basically
that is actually
is,
funny.
This is my thing, right? And listen, you're a mom. So that's also like content that I love of you is like you and your kid on vacation. Yeah. But this is what I feel like some like a genre of women do is like they'll do something and not women, people, because this is my theory on why racists always have pictures of their kids in their in their profile picture. Mm-hmm. It's like a kid or a dog and they're saying the most disgusting racist shit to you. But I feel like a lot of people will do something really fucked up and mean, and then when you like push them or when they get any pushback, they're like, but I'm a mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like as a mother.
Janet on the Valley.
But it's like also this. She's like, well, you know, I just decide like I'm a mom and I can't deal with this. It's like, was she pregnant when she filed the lawsuit? It's like also like, yeah, these are the things you got to consider. And also, bitch, you know, you didn't have a fucking case.
Yeah.
It's not a mom. It's you don't have a fucking case. And also you should have thought about this before you started suing people.
Yeah, it's very funny to be like, I never meant to bring this to the internet. And I'm like, this is all the internet. Yeah.
This is your job, bringing stuff to the internet.
You're both influencers. This is an influencer lawsuit about influencer, like, ownership.
That's so boring. You know what I have to say, though? I really want to see their profiles back to back. Because she was saying, like, oh, because she made it look exactly like mine. Now I want to see what that looked like. But
well, you got to listen to the April. Okay. Yeah. April 12th.
Because we go through. Yeah, we go through a lot more posts on that one. I do remember when we were recording that one that Alyssa did not have a TikTok and we were kind of like, huh.
Why doesn't
that's
she
weird.
Have a TikTok?
Oh, yeah, it got deleted.
It's like she got removed. But like there is also something about like this girl. I don't know if Sydney's Latina.
I think she was. She, I forget. But
she
Alyssa's
was, but she's not. Okay.
But Alyssa's Afro-Latina. Mm-hmm. And we were like, there's some kind of racialized element too. And I'm sorry. Like, I feel like we kind of all know that TikTok will report something that a black creator does quicker, whatever. Yeah.
Just because you get your account deleted doesn't mean you were wrong. Like, it just means a lot of people flooded the thing.
Yeah, and like copyright strike. You know, if someone has a bigger reach, which I think Sydney Nicole Gifford was the bigger reach person, you can like get a bunch of people to copyright strike somebody. So I don't know what the details of that are, but I do remember from when we were recording the episode that her TikTok was down.
Yeah.
So
that sucks.
This case, I mean, it looks like it's going to be dismissed. I would say if you're listening and you're interested in it, definitely go back and listen to our old episode and read Mia Sato's articles, because she went and like interviewed both of these gals. She's been following this from the jump. She gets like more deep into the actual like legal questions that are at hand.
She makes a lot of TikToks about it.
Yeah, she does. Her TikTok is like a great place to find that information too. So shout out to her. And I think we're ready to go on to our discourse for today. So the discourse is our segment where we talk about something that everybody's talking about online. We have two mini discourses for today. I mean, they're very rich topics, but we're going to do them in a miniaturized manner.
We only got so much time with Miss Young.
Exactly. And I would say both of them have to do with the question, are straight women okay? What is the state of straight women today? Are they well? Are they in on the joke? Are they not? What do we think? We're gonna look at these two stories and we'll come up with answers together.
Okay.
So we're going to start by talking about Sabrina Carpenter's new album cover.
Okay, so I have not seen it, but I've seen people talking about it.
Okay.
And you've seen it,
Millie, I'm sure. Okay.
You've captured my raw...
raw take.
Exactly.
We'll title this
reaction.
Raw Sabrina Carpenter
reaction.
Raw Asian.
I mean, we'll get a lot of hits.
Yeah, we'll get
if we put raw Asian in there,
Asian
we're gonna get a lot of hits.
Stepmom, Gen Z auntie,
Sabrina
auntie.
Carpenter.
But we'll try to make the auntie
sexy
happy.
Auntie.
Yeah. Okay. Raw Asian sexy.
ILF is MILF with auntie. Auntie, I like to fuck.
What?
I elf.
Auntie, I'd like to fuck. Okay, so here's what I'll say before we even show the image, which we will do in 1 second. I honestly am coming into this where I feel like my head whips around with the Discord. Like, I feel like I hear a good point made on either side, like, constantly. Yeah. And I'm very, I've been very flip-floppy on this one. I have some concrete feelings for sure, but, like, I don't know. I felt that watching the discourse play out, it's been a mixed bag for me. First, I'm just going to give the tiniest bit of background on Sabrina Carpenter in case anyone listening has not heard Espresso. Sabrina.
I feel bad for you.
I feel bad for you. It's a really fun song.
It's a really
very silly
fun song.
So Sabrina Carpenter is a 26-year-old pop star who really blew up last year with her album Short and Sweet. She's been in the game for a long time.
She's been in the game. She's the girl who took Olivia Rodrigo's man.
Exactly.
Wow.
That inspired, what is
Driver's
it?
License.
The white guy
license.
That looks Asian? Is that him?
Yeah.
The white guy that looks Asian.
Yeah. Joshua Bennett.
He's in,
something.
Good company with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That was definitely his.
I have a whole
white guys that look Asian thing. That's your fetish.
Josh Hartnett, yes.
Ooh, you're right. Yes, Josh Hartnett is Korean.
Richard Gere. Don't get me started, girl.
Ooh, Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Richard Gere.
I hope he's watching this.
He on YouTube. Looks better with age too, Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a little meat on his bones. At least when I say stuff like this, at least edits it out.
No. I don't.
You edited out the Bridgerton booty comment.
It's because you pronounced his name so wrong that it was actually impossible for anyone to understand what it said. And I was doing you a fucking favor. And I'll leave this in.
How do you pronounce his name?
You said Regé Jean Pierre. His name is Regé Jean Page.
Oh, my God. Regé Jean Pierre.
So.
I was like, Elise will not let me live on this podcast.
Not only was I letting you live. I was saying, I want Millie to be presented in the best way possible.
This is like, what is it? Shay Lau? No, I said Shay Lau.
But and then I was wrong as well. This, I'm confident his name is.
You said Chase Lounge.
Wait. Chase Lounge, Lounge. We had a whole
thing.
Wait,
but what's the Sabrina Carpenter? Remember I was saying the Sabrina Carpenter song where she's like, you can smell my pussy on your, my.
It's you can taste me when she's kissing you, which I'm not sure. I mean, I think she means pussy, but also herself.
That's about Shawn Mendes. Basically, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello broke up.
Yeah.
And then he got with Sabrina Carpenter. And then they had a thing. And then he kind of like abruptly dumped her and went back to Camila.
Yeah.
So that song is intended to be like, I hope you know, you can taste me.
My pussy.
And like. Everything
on
that my presence is in his home and you can feel me and taste me and whatever.
I was saying, how can you taste someone's pussy on a man's lips months after they break up?
But that's like a common like thing that women say to each other. It's like, I hope you like how my pussy tastes. You never had a crazy.
No one has ever said that to me because I block people so much.
Yeah, no, you're not overlapping with anyone's ex.
I'll tell you that much.
You're not interacting with them, period.
I'm not interacting with them.
The guys barely. So there's no way you're going to interact with an ex.
Yeah, there's no way. Someone said that to you? Someone said, I hope you can taste my pussy on your man's lips.
I think that is a common idea of like, thing. I hope you, it's like a, like it's like that, like my leftovers. Like, I hope you like how my leftovers taste.
Sloppy seconds. The women's version of sloppy seconds.
Right. But then I was saying like, why would anyone taste your pussy on a man's lips? And then I was like, you know, straight men don't be washing.
I mean, that is true. That is true. And we don't know
that. Don't be washing their beards.
Shawn Mendes.
We can't speak
for
Shawn Mendes.
Well, I saw him in a spa once and it was,
Did he look hot?
Well, okay, look, this is what...
In a spa? How'd you see him in a spa? Was he washing his crotch?
Guys, I was at Bath House.
His lips? What's Bath House?
We can't get into it. I don't even know what Bath House is.
Okay, I'll say this quickly because we have to move on. One time I was in a spa. In the spa you see, in Bath House, you see a lot of really attractive people. And like, yeah, everyone's really hot. So I was looking at this guy. And he was hot. He had a really cut body and he had really nice tattoos. And I turned to my friend and I was like, yo, that guy's really hot. And she's like, Millie, that's Shawn Mendes.
I don't know who Shawn Mendes is.
And then I told the staff, I was like, oh my God, I saw Shawn Mendes. And they're like,
I'm imagining
he's always
a hot man.
Here, whatever. What do you want to eat?
At Bath House?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess I would expect Shawn Mendes to have like a private spot. Whatever. No, either way, we have to get back to Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay,
we have to get back to Sabrina Carpenter.
What's going on with her?
She's a 26-year-old pop star. She blew up last year with her album Short and Sweet, which has the aforementioned Taste song. That is the first song. Great music video. She's a former Disney kid, but she's been making music for a long time, like we said. She did one show as Katie Heron in the Mean Girls musical before the pandemic, and then she just never got to
really?
Do it.
Really?
Yeah. She made her Broadway debut, and then they were like, actually, the world is shutting down for the next 6 months.
Oh my
and
God.
By the time it came back, she like couldn't do it anymore. Oh so
God. Yeah.
She is, as we just discussed, she is explicitly very sexy. She talks about sex. She makes a lot of innuendos. In her last tour, she's very famous for, she has a song, it's called Juno, and it's about like how I would have a baby with you, and she does sexy, they're called her Juno positions in the middle.
Oh yeah, have you ever tried this one?
Yeah, she goes,
and it's like different positions.
Yeah.
And she names the positions?
She doesn't name them, she just acts it out on stage, kind of. Okay. She has this,
the spread eagle in Chicago, like the spread eagle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. But yeah, she'll like bend over. She'll do different stuff.
Eiffel Tower.
It's like jokey, goofy stuff. She has this like pinup sexuality, but it's also like there's humor to it, I would say. Like
she's also 4'11", so I feel like that also.
I know that
like,
about her.
Petite and like kind of like Betty Boop.
Thank you so much for talking to me. Like I've never heard of who this person is because you were absolutely correct.
And
I just know that one pussy song
for.
And I'm just like
exactly.
You just know the one pussy song.
Yeah. I was like,
this song doesn't pass the Bechdel test. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
That's honestly right in line with the discourse we're about to discuss. That is a common reaction to Sabrina Carpenter, actually. I saw a tweet that described her as having Looney Tunes sexuality, which I think is
exactly right.
Yeah, it's like
That's what I have.
It's very
no,
like
you don't. You have a sexy big ass hip tattoo.
That's a cartoon character.
No, it's a different genre, but anyway.
This is very like, it's like when Bugs Bunny dresses up like a lady and is like,
that's how I have sex. Why don't you let me have this, Millie?
Okay, don't block me. She's like, they wouldn't explain Bathhouse to me.
She's been the subject of a lot of discourse. It's very like, but think of the children. There's a very famous tweet about her where someone is retweeting her doing the Juno position.
Okay.
So I don't know which
one. Do you want me to reenact that?
Yeah, you can.
She does like the Eiffel Tower. So it's like she has two male dancers on either side. And then she's like doing like an Eiffel Tower thing.
Exactly.
You guys got to be on the YouTube.
Yeah, because.
And I'm just cracking up because I really thought that guy's name was Pierre. But anyway.
Again, it's like a cartoonish reenactment of a sex position for like 1 second. Because in the song, she goes, have you ever tried this one? And then she'll bend over and everyone will go, ah! And then the song continues. Anyway, someone was retweeting this and there was a very famous now reply where somebody said, You guys are disgusting and weird for defending a literal weirdo. I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter when she's performing. You guys need help. So now there are, you can buy a hat that says I'm 17 and afraid of Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. I love that. I want so that hot. Hat. Yeah.
I do love I'm 17 and
I'm
afraid
17
of
and I'm afraid of Sabrina.
And this is like kind of what you're seeing. Like Sabrina Carpenter is, in the way that like Black Twitter has this like ongoing discourse about like it's not a real date if it's $200, if you don't spend $200, I feel like there is a generational divide on like sex negativity and sex positivity. Mm. And like the stereotype is that a lot of younger people on the internet don't like sex, don't like sexually explicit stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, there's a whole meme about like them wanting sex scenes out of movies. Like, that's like a conversation that happens
on the
internet.
Which I agree. But I have a weird theory about that. We don't have time for that.
Okay.
Online, sometimes people will call them the Puritans.
The Puritans.
It's like, yeah, it's like teenagers who are like weirdly anti-sex and think that like if they see anything sexual, it's like
abuse.
Yeah, that it's abuse to them or like that they're being sexualized, etc.
No kink at Pride. That's another thing of like when there's kinky
right.
like things at Pride. It's like, it's at a family event. These are the
How
conversations.
How much should I act
happen-
like I've never heard about the internet on this? Because I feel like there are some things that I know about.
Yeah, well, you're just, not. Okay, okay, yeah, yeah, we're like explaining
to No, it's part the of the people. Gag. Yeah. Oh, the people. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
You're
not
the
me.
Audience
okay.
sitting, but you can say, I've heard of that too. But oh,
okay,
I'm just
okay.
saying, for people who don't know anything about
it. I loved it. Okay, I get it now. Sorry. I thought you were explaining for my sake.
No,
and
no,
I was
no.
Like,
we know that you know about
what is Pride.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, that we get you can definitely let us know that you know about Pride.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, no. But yeah, I didn't know about Puritans. That's
Puritans
me.
Is kind of like their moniker online. So, okay.
Okay. So
with that background on Sabrina Carpenter, her Looney Tunes sexuality, and the Puritans, we come to the announcement of her new album, which is to be released on August 29th, called Man's Best Friend, and the release
and
of the album cover.
It.
You will look at it now. Youngmi, why don't you describe it?
Okay. It's Sabrina Carpenter. She's wearing a black dress. Her face is beat,
mm-hmm.
beat to smithereens.
Hi, everyone. Elise here. I'm just popping in case anyone is unfamiliar with the terminology being used here. In this sense, what Youngmi means is her face is beat in the sense that, like, her makeup is really, really, really good and well done, not that she looks like she's been beaten up in any way. As I was listening back in the edit, I was like, huh. If someone doesn't know that slang, they could be very confused here. So beat in this context means she's got really nice makeup on. Okay, back to the episode.
Great. Speaking of Looney Tunes. And then she is standing in front of a white wall. There is a man standing to her left. She's on her hands and knees, and she's reaching towards his crotch, but looking at us, the camera. He's holding part of her hair up. It looks like if she just turns a little bit to the right, his dick is just going to fall into her mouth. Yeah, he's definitely thrusting his crotch toward her face. This looks like a white person party. This is like how they have fun, I think. Someone's
got a fistful of her hair.
Yeah.
Like he's grabbed.
This is just whenever
like
I go to
a
white
like
person
aggressive,
party.
Aggressive, sexual.
Someone's 25-year-old girlfriend is always doing this.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I mean, it looks sexual. It looks like, I don't know. But it could also be like two... A married couple that are Mormon, yeah, after a nice
she doesn't
dinner
have her wedding ring on.
Out, and then they got back to their hotel room after their anniversary dinner, and they had the babysitter for the night. It could be wholesome, you know? We don't know. We don't know what straight people are
the
doing.
Mormons ain't fucking like this.
Oh, no, they are. Remember that documentary? The Mormon Wives?
Secret Lives of Mormon
oh,
Wives?
Yeah.
Listen
no, they
to
are.
It on our,
Multiple,
we talk
if
about
this was Mormon,
media.
There would be three other men in
yeah,
the
that's
room.
True.
Yeah, exactly. If this were Mormon, there
and
would
be
more.
And one of them would be related. Nothing.
So the bottom line is, it's obviously a sexually provocative image, and because the album is called Man's Best Friend, it's supposed to evoke the idea
dog.
That he's like walking
yeah.
her like a dog. And then the back cover is just a picture of a dog collar that says Man's Best Friend. So that is like the imagery that the album is going with.
I'll say one thing. It's fucking boring. It's so fucking, it's so chopped. Like, we've seen this. I guess there's nothing subversive about it because it's kind of... Yeah, like, if I was 17, I'd be like, I'm afraid of Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, exactly.
But since I'm older, this is what I grew up looking at. That's all we saw. Mm. So the only image of women we ever saw until like 1998. So it does nothing for me in terms of being boring. But I can see why people find it offensive because it's a little like... passé, you know, like it's nothing
so
new.
This segues, this is, you said everything exactly.
Derivative.
Right. Basically, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to summarize the arguments for and against, and then we'll go into what we think about both camps. Do you guys, should I start with the camp against or for the image? I'll let you guys decide.
Against first, because I feel like this is the.
Okay. Against first, the Puritans and others. It's not just the Puritans, actually. There are more nuanced arguments against the image. Basically, it's anti-feminist because it glorifies violence against women. The imagery of her having her hair pulled, they say that it contributes to some of like the violent porn stuff that we see, etc. One thing is that people knock Sabrina Carpenter saying she only exists for the male gaze. Everything she does is for men. That's one line. As you said, it looks like just a regular ass misogynistic ad from the early 2000s. Like that,
even
you know,
from the 50s, I feel
even
like...
from, yeah, there's like those famous, I think it's Pan Am did these famous ads that were like, it would be like a sexy flight attendant and it would say like, fly Gloria, like just like stuff. I mean, I guess the lighting and stuff is what gives a early 2000s perfume ad to me, like that you would see just in any magazine. But that's one of the arguments. And then another one is basically, so we'll get more into the people who say it's satire, but in response to that, people say that if this is meant to be satirical in some way, it is not successful. So I saw one tweet from someone called Premonition King, King spelled K-X-N-G, that said, satire implies exaggeration. The Sabrina cover and title can be easily perceived at face value, so it fails at being satire. And also, friend of the pod, Josh Laura, who we love so much, said in one of his TikToks, it was basically something along the lines of like, for something to be satire, it has to be distinguishable in some way from the thing that it's satirizing. And this literally is just pound for pound one of those ads. Like, it doesn't have some other element. Like, when we talk about when people who say something is a skit, like there has to be some kind of tell to make something satire.
Well, what did they? Does she have like a whatever press release about it? Does she explain it? No,
not explaining the image. She has released the song "Man Child" that's going to be the first single off of it. But no, she just released the image and the single and said when the album itself is going to come out.
I think like if the front cover was this. And then the back cover was like her head off and the guy like holding her head like and her body or something. Then that's like being satirical of like, this is what can happen. You know,
there's like a message or something. This is definitely not satire.
Yeah, what is this satirizing? Like, what is the thing that you're poking fun at? Like, you're just literally copying something that exists.
Yeah, exactly. So that's in the against camp.
Okay.
And then in the for camp, people who are pro, first of all, they say it's satire. So here's one from Kathani Sharma on Twitter. The way people can't comprehend that an album called Man's Best Friend with a cover art of a man treating a woman like a dog, bitch, and a lead song titled Man Child is clearly ironic, criticizing those things. Media literacy is dead. Sabrina, I'm sorry. People are dumb AF. So that's what one person has to say about this. People say she's being controversial on purpose and doing something that many other pop stars have done before her. People often point to, there was like a sex coffee table book Madonna did in the 80s. A lot of people are trying to say that this exists in the world of that or is a reference to that. And then basically the idea that people in general have a very weird puritanical reaction to Sabrina Carpenter. And that a lot of times people use these feminist terms like saying, oh, she exists for the male gaze as a way to launder pretty standard old school misogyny and slut shaming and just saying like, actually, you're a skank or whatever.
Right.
So those are the arguments for, those are the arguments against. Like I said, I have different pieces of each that I kind of feel are true. So what do you guys think?
I'm going to say that this was like literally done on purpose for that reason. It's not very interesting as I'm just looking at it like as an art perspective. It's not interesting. It's not anything new. But it does reside in that gray area, and it was purposeful. I feel like content creators now that make videos where it's like right on the edge of, does it sound like they're joking or is it serious? And they make it on purpose. So it creates an artificial controversy and a discussion. And this just seems like that. It's kind of lazy and it's not interesting.
Okay.
Because of that reason. But I will say, because I feel like that is like such a secret agenda. It's like this marketing agenda now that's so like insidious in everything that we see, that it makes me immediately tap out of it, because I'm like, I'm not falling for this bullshit. Like, I know why you did this. It's so easy. It's so obvious. And it like taps into everything, right? It taps into the sex sells, like fucking Donald Draper, fucking,
yeah.
I'm an advertising like man.
This is giving
we're going to get some blonde chick with some lit. And it's just like, who cares? So boring. You know, it taps into that. It taps into, they knew it was going to stir up the fucking Puritans. They knew it. They knew all of that. It's all strategy and marketing, and that's why it's so boring to me, because it's just capitalist slop, because it's very lazy. It's just like hitting the stuff to make sure we talk about it, and then it makes me immediately not want to like look at it or talk about it, because I'm like, just okay, cool, fun, like go have fun with the 17-year-olds making the hats. Like that's what you wanted and that's what you got. If the song is a bop, I'll listen to it.
Yeah,
but it just makes me want to turn off. It's so like on purpose feeling, you know.
I just feel like I wouldn't say that all of her sexuality is for the male gaze, because
I don't think
even
so.
even in this like image, like her shoulders, her cleavage is covered. Like, she's wearing a short dress, but it's like her booty cheeks aren't out. Like, there are rappers and artists and singers who like very will like dress scantily clad, and you can see all this stuff. Like, it is like very cartoonish and kind of like pinup-y and clowny too. That's how she like the previous look, and I think they want to make something distinguishable. But also, so I don't think that it's purposefully for the male gaze. Before, I would say this is like, again, somebody on Reddit posted like a collection of ads like similar to this from the 50s of like men using women as like ottoman, or like grabbing women by the hair, be like, put her in her place or tell her that this is a man's world. Like,
yeah,
these were real ads that we got. And Manchild isn't really something that's evoking like a feminist thing. And also, I'm just like, where we are in this country right now, where you can't get an abortion in like 38 states, Donald Trump just won, all these like rolling back all this care and stuff for women. Like, what are you saying with like in context? Like, maybe it is capitalist slop or whatever. And like,
I think so.
It is or whatever. But I'm also just like, as an artist, what are you saying? Like, what is this message that you're doing at this moment in our country, at this moment in time? Like, yeah, for women. And it's interesting because I was at my sister's house, and I have like a 9-10-year-old niece, and I was playing, like, I played Alexa. My sister, she listens to Spanish music or whatever, but I started playing Sabrina Carpenter as I was cooking, and my niece knew all the songs.
Mm.
She knew, and my sister was like, I've never heard the song Please, 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 mm-hmm, that song. My niece knew all that. And so it's like, you're not... I hate the thing of like, well, what will the kids say, or what will the kids think? And I think like an artist shouldn't be aiming their things at kids or anything like that. But to say like that a kid is not going to absorb anything.
They are.
And
it's like how my son knows all the XXXTentacion songs.
That's crazy.
I don't know why.
He's been dead since your kid is like six.
No, yeah. He's been dead for a fucking minute.
He's been dead.
I'm not making fun of it. I don't want the internet to come after me.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he has been dead for a while.
Yeah, he passed away pre-pandemic.
Oh, Lord.
Right? No,
yeah,
he did. And how old is your son?
11.
So,
yeah, he was fucking okay. But I'll say the thing about the male gaze thing is, Sabrina Carpenter for the male gaze?
No, I don't think so.
See like men like,
do men
listen to Sabrina Carpenter bops?
I would call the police on a man. Like, ooh, I love you.
Espresso.
That's the thing is like, it's okay. So, where I stand on the different camps is like, in the pro camp, I do feel like when people are like, she just exists for the male gaze, blah blah blah, and like are critiquing just the entire idea of her being this like sexy pop star, that I'm like, chill out. Yeah. You're being a dork. She's very silly. Again, her one of the things I like about the Short and Sweet album is she's funny in it. And I was saying this before we recorded, but I think it's hard to put out an album that is real music. It's not a comedy music album that is actually genuinely funny. And she's clever. And she's definitely doing a lot of the stuff with a little wink and a nod that I think is successful satire or successful comedy around the idea of this like sexy little, again, like Betty Boop-ish person. Mm-hmm. This image, I do not think standalone is successful satire for all of the reasons that you guys have listed. I think when people are comparing it to the Madonna sex book, it's like, well, the Madonna sex book came out in a context of the 1980s where like, you weren't actually allowed to be sex forward like that. And it was more radical. This, again, looks like a lot of stuff we've seen. Like, it's not challenging anything.
I promise to you, it was marketing. They had this meeting where they talked about this.
For sure.
In detail. And they already knew what arguments we were going to have. They knew the fucking who were going to come after it. And it was just plot. And you can feel it in it. You can feel it's very vapid. It's made for engagement, and it's all the social media like marketing strategy shit now. It's like when you see those fucking videos of come with me to dinner at Carbone, it's like I already know that somebody paid for this fucking it's so like, you can see so much through it that it's like I don't even see it. It's just like
you
background,
can
like
see the seams on it, like where
you can
it's
see
being
the
made.
Seams it's like the logo for Casper mattresses, like somebody thought for a long time about this.
Yeah, I guess I'm just, the thing is man's best friend. It's supposed to be like you're a dog and the first thing is like man child, like which basically like this guy's a man child. Like if the first like, now this is, you know, I do live in Bushwick, so forgive me, but there's a soccer mommy song called
what? A soccer mommy song?
Never mind.
This I don't know.
Yeah, like
this
we're talking
what
indie,
are we talking?
We're talking about indie pop music and indie. There's this artist called Soccer Mommy, and she has a song called Your Dog, and it's like, I don't want to be your dog. I don't want you to, like, I'm not here to just sit at the foot of your bed as you get to do whatever the fuck you want, and then come back to me and decide when you want to have a relationship or not. That's the point of the thing. But she uses the dog metaphor to say that, and I'm just kind of like, if you're going to do, like, a song, like, if the first song of the symbol is, like, specifically talking to that thing of, like, we're not dogs or this and that, then I can, but then just to have this,
just,
something's weird.
Yeah, here's my thing, I guess. The one like caveat that I carve out is maybe when we hear the entire album.
Yeah, it might have bops because I love Short and Sweet.
That's the thing is I love Short and Sweet and I feel like Short and Sweet had like a very specific POV. So I'm like, maybe if the album comes out and it is actually facilitating the satire around this image in some kind of way. I just want to leave a little carve out for the possibility that when we see this in the full context of the art it's supposed to be representing, that it could take on a different meaning. But I don't think this image just put out with man-child attached is doing it for me in terms of like being satirical or reading as satire.
I just find it so boring. It's so empty. Like, it's just like whatever message is. It's just like so blank feeling for me. I don't know.
Okay. So you are coming out with just, you're like you're
art.
Not scandalized by the sexuality.
You think she
you're just
like
it's
Hillary
boring.
Clinton?
No.
Like Hillary, a young Hillary Clinton, think about it.
No.
They have a similar face shape. They actually
they look alike. I'm just saying.
I just feel like when I look at things like this, knowing how much money is behind stuff like this and knowing how much people like study social media and like how things go viral now, everything I feel like at this tier of whatever media that's performed, I just roll my eyes at it because it's just I just see a board meeting with like 400 people like being like,
well then we're gonna have her hair on the side, but
it's
just like,
and everyone's gonna get mad and it's
and then
the thing.
Yeah, it's just like, and then it literally makes my brain like turn off immediately. It's just like I'm not, it's just so, but it's perfect for a 17-year-old that's angry at sex and TV commercials, or you know, it's perfect for a lonely teenager.
Okay, so you're bored by it.
I feel like I give her more credit. Like, I think she's funny and witty and I liked her stuff. I don't think she exists for the male gaze. But also, this was corny and, like, this is not what I would do in the context right now. And it doesn't seem... right now, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with her album. You're right. Yeah. It could all, like, come together. But even, like, to make controversy like this, it's just, like,
a little
annoying. Okay. I'm going to say we all have said our piece about the Sabrina Carpenter image. TBD on what the album will sound like, but that's where we are on that piece of discourse. Are we ready to move to our next piece of discourse?
Yes.
Okay, this is a quick one, but we are going to talk about TikToker Delaney Rowe and her relationship with BJ Novak. Who is Delaney Rowe? Delaney Rowe is a 29-year-old TikToker, comedian, content creator. She's got 3.1 million followers on TikTok, 1 million on Insta. And she's known very specifically for her videos about the absolutely insufferable lead of an indie movie. So we're just going to watch one of those really, really quickly. And you will probably recognize her.
Hey, want to know a secret? I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a mermaid. When I was 8, I would call swim team mermaid practice. Couldn't get me out of that water. And then one day, my sister told me that mermaids aren't real. Kind of haven't been swimming since. Nothing, I just never told anybody that before.
That's kind of like one of the first ones that popped off. She has another one that's In the Rain that's very funny, but I just think audio-wise, it would not be as fun to play. But that's her niche on TikTok.
Yeah,
very popular from that. BJ Novak is the 45-year-old former Office star. He played Ryan on The Office. He wrote on The Office. And most pertinent to this discussion, he has been in basically a legendary situationship with Mindy Kaling since 2008. They dated on and off for many years, remained extremely close. Many speculate that he is the father of her children, but that is not confirmed. He is their godfather, and they do call him Uncle Fofo. Yes, Mindy Kaling has 3 kids.
She's, I did not know that.
And she says it's a sperm donor.
Yeah, she's never said who the father is.
But they're half-white, I think.
Yes.
The kids are half-white.
There's a lot of speculation.
It's kind of like I feel like there is as many proof as the Taylor Swift is gay kind of stuff.
There's a lot. I honestly feel like there's a lot more solid evidence.
What do the eyebrows look like? The kids' eyebrows.
Oh, she doesn't show their face. Oh. You can't find a picture of the kid's face online.
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely his kids.
So, yeah. I mean, he is all of their godfather. They call him Uncle Fofo. There are a lot of quotes around his special relationship with them. I encourage you all to do your research and go down that rabbit hole.
I did not know any of this. I'm very interested.
Yes. And like a lot of the Ryan Kelly Kapoor relationship in The Office is based on this like romance that they had specifically. So this year, it came out that Delaney Rowe has been dating BJ Novak. This came out because they were spotted at the Standard in November and at the Bowery Hotel in
December. I've been there.
Of course you have.
And this got reported to Dumois, of course. And this was also, side note, right around the same time that BJ Novak was presenting Mindy Kaling, like, her Hollywood Walk of Fame star and gives this, like, very effusive speech about her and is like, has his arm around her, gives her a little kiss on the forehead.
He kissed her on the forehead on the Hollywood fucking star, and that was in February, bitch.
That's
And it was in February, already went off. So there's just so much intrigue here.
What?
But basically, this story came out end of April about Delaney Rowe, BJ Novak being together. It flared up. Everyone was like, oh my God, what? That's so crazy. Then it died down until this video of Delaney Rowe on Liz Plank's Boy Problems podcast came out where she talks about the relationship. We're going to watch it. And when we do, so in the past, Millie and I have played a game where when I was describing the $50,000 in a shoebox scam, you said bloop whenever you heard something that would have stuck out to you as potential scam. When you guys hear something that is a red flag in this video, I'd like for you to go alert,
alert,
alert.
I'm not, like, you know, the cuffs aren't on. Like, I'm not, like, fully boot up, but, like, I am dating, and it is going okay.
Oh.
I was the problem.
What do you mean?
And I had to sort of reconcile with that recently. I was not sure
And so I sort of was noncommittal for a long period of time. Okay. And when he was like very sure. And so now I am sure. And he's like, I don't really trust your intentions at this point. And so now I've had to sort of, you know, rap for my motherfucking life on this one. And like prove that I'm trustworthy.
Alert.
Yeah. Not that I
or that you've not that there was any
there was
alert.
No
or that you really like
bad behavior.
Oh, yeah,
it was just me not quite ready, and now I am, and so now I have to be like, you know, kind of bare my heart a little bit.
Alert.
For me, the alert was he was super sure in the beginning,
and that I just at the moment she goes, I was the problem. I'm just like, alert, 29-year-old in a relationship with a 45-year-old man who's
actually
saying she's the problem.
You're total. That's a red fucking flag.
So, yeah, this caused a lot of discourse online, as you can imagine. What are your impressions after watching that?
Okay, I'm going to say something, though. As of like a full-blown fucking feminist, sometimes women make mistakes, you know?
So, like, yes.
So I don't support all women. Some of you bitches are dumb.
So and you know
tweet.
What? And also, some of what she says, if you did kind of read between the lines, there's like some stuff that's kind of like, well, what did you do? And she was like, no bad behavior, but like, well, what does it mean? Like, there could be something there. And I'm just throwing that out there.
I just read that as like, she's trying to protect him. Like, I think I read it more as
well,
she's like,
she
he's
saying,
not cheating on me. He wasn't doing stepping out
on
me.
What she said was, I had to confront my blah, blah, blah. No bad. Oh, you're saying that he
I'm
didn't have any bad behavior.
Yeah, I'm saying that when she makes that comment that's
it's about
there was
him.
No bad behavior, I think she's protecting him. That was kind of the vibe.
Oh, you're right. Actually, she did say it around that part. Yikes.
I just feel like this guy's like 45.
The age gap is the number one red flag. So let's start from there.
I mean, it's not that there's anything, you know, they're all consenting adults and they can do whatever they want. But
if you see me dating a 29-year-old, shut your mouth up. Keep it to yourself.
There's like a tweet, which I also agree with. I'm like, if you see me with Colin Farrell, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm using my agency to the
like,
full ability.
I don't want to hear age gap with none of this shit. Okay. Yeah. But so there's that, but it's also like he does have a reputation of being like a like sleazeball,
swarmy
and whatever. And you're saying that it's not like a big deal that he was on Mindy Kaling's Hollywood Walk of Fame. You have to look at these pictures. He's like, it's giving, I'm your husband, like, and I'm here to support you for, and not like we're friends, like. So the fact that it's all while he was quote unquote dating this girl is just something's off.
I just think that when you know that the guy she is talking about is in one of like our era's most legendary situationships, it is a big red, like the entire thing becomes a big red flag to me because I'm like, number one, just in general, the way she's talking about it, being like, it was my fault. He's great. Blah, blah, blah. I feel like she's being like extra cautious because she knows not to step out of line in the way that she talks about this guy because of how famous he is. And then when you know that also, again, he's in a decades long situationship with Mindy Kaling, I'm just like, girl, get another boyfriend. Date anybody else.
Could never be me, bitch.
Yeah.
Well, you would have blocked him after the first
literally
day.
In 1993 when they first started dating. I would
have
seen
have you
them
blocked
eyebrows.
Him in 1993?
I would have seen them eyebrows from a mile away. I was like blocked before he sits
down.
On the beeper. You said he can't send mail to my house.
He can't send mail.
I'm just kidding. Like,
how did you block someone on a beeper back then?
I think you could block numbers, I think.
On a beeper?
I'm not familiar.
My sister will tell us. She will listen and she will text us.
Well, guys, watch this space. We will tell you if you could block.
Diana, tell me if you could block. My sister listens to this pod. She'll tell me if you could block someone.
Yeah. So
this is depressing.
That was just a depressing video that came out involving a very famous TikToker. I sincerely hope that Delaney Rose friends watched that and scheduled an immediate emergency girls' night to discuss the situation with her.
I hope so.
I mean, good podcast name, Boy Problems.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I felt like you could kind of see Liz Plank, who's the podcast host, being like, yeah, you need to prove you're trustworthy. Like, she seems to be alarmed.
Yeah. Why do you have to prove that? Unless, like, you fully... Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, I guess, like, the language she's using sounds like she was cheating or something like that. I don't think she did it, but it's like she's being, like, brainwashed.
Yeah, that,
yeah,
like,
the language is, like,
unless you're, like, he walked in on you just, you know, doing one of these.
More Juno position.
Okay. Well, thank you. Espresso. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. She's on her hands and knees, folks.
All right. Yeah, I think that it's time. We have to move on. It is time for our final segment.
Grasshole of the week. Guys, this is our segment where we choose one person that needs to log off the most. This, I think I'm going to do something similar, and I'm just going to present information, mm-hmm, and then you guys will decide who's the grasshole.
Okay.
And folks listening, if you want to... I'm going to do a poll. Maybe we'll do a poll on Instagram. We'll do a poll on Spotify. If I can figure it out, I'll do it on YouTube too. But I'm like, but I'm really curious because there's people, there are very fine people from both sides. And that is me quoting the president of the United States talking about Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This week, kind of relevant, we have a situation that happened with Doja Cat and a fan.
Okay.
So if you don't know who Doja Cat is, her name is Amala Ratna Zindali Dalmini, who uses the stage name Doja Cat, and she's a Grammy-winning American rapper, singer, songwriter, and record producer. Known for her songs like Say So, Kiss Me More, Woman, her 2018 debut album, Amala, included the bonus track Moo, and it was a novelty song. I liked her before Moo. And then Moo really changed the game. Bitch, I'm a cow. Or Moo, the chorus is Bitch, I'm a cow. And it turned her into an internet meme. Okay. So that is who Doja Cat is. For context, before I share this story that happened this weekend, Doja Cat has been involved in so many online controversies that are racial that when coming up for the episode, like, I think we're going to have to do a separate Patreon exclusive just going over every racial fucking thing that she has, because we're talking about like Black Lives Matter with Michael Brown days of like weird racial shit.
Yeah,
her actions online inspired the load-bearing tweet, the game-changing tweet by Noriega saying she's in racial chat rooms showing feet. That is kind of all you gotta need to know about that. Well, I have to say, so Doja Cat is very online. Me and Elise are very online. Yeah. Elise is deep in Broadway, TikTok, and characters, and Star Wars, and romanticy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding out who fought at what water park in Ohio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a bucket list of Amish buffets that I want to go to.
Yeah. I want to go to Amish buffets. Okay, let's talk know about that. I did not know about that.
Shady Maple is on my bucket list.
Please, can we go right now?
But Doja Cat, and I will... Doja Cat is online in what I can only describe as a very 4chan way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's on some very trolly whatever shit. She's biracial in a way that she has much contempt for her Black father.
Mm.
Just all to give you a context. Okay. In 2023, she told a bunch of her fans to get a job. She doubled down so hard that at Doja Cat Brazil announced an indefinite break. So she pissed off Brazilian fans.
I know, to
fans.
Piss off Brazilian fans, like, that's really hard.
So anyway, okay, we're not getting into the... But what happened is, this weekend, there was this video that went online.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the video. We'll just watch it, and we'll see what caused the drama.
My shirt to Doja Cat, because she's the iconic girl.
Period!
No, bitch, you deserve it. Literally, and if you ever want anything more, I got you, always. This is the girl
here. Happy Pride Month.
Pablo. Nice to meet you.
Wait, what's your real name? Or is it Doja?
Ami?
So nice to meet you, girl. You're beautiful. I hope you have the best night. You're literally everything in life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Period!
My girl, Ami. Thank you.
You smell great.
Wait, what's the controversy? Did
okay,
I miss it?
Okay.
We'll
so
see.
That was the video, right?
Uh-huh.
So the next day, or I guess that night, so she was in a club in LA. This gay guy comes up to her.
Yeah.
He sells shirts. And he's like, I want to give you my shirt. He took the shirt off his back
mm-hmm.
and gave it to her and hugged her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is what happened in the video.
Oh.
Doja Cat then posts this. Bottom line is, I'll smile at you, but it doesn't mean I fuck with you, and don't touch me and manhandle me when you don't even fucking know me. If you know, you know. I honestly think I need to stand up for myself in the moment sometimes. And he didn't even know my fucking name to be touching me and kissing me on the on my face. Like, that is crazy. I threw that musty ass shirt away, by the way. So.
Oh, I have so many thoughts on this.
Tell me your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, just say it to their face.
Okay.
This is some fucking white people Yelp review shit. You know? I didn't like the service and it took forever. But just to say it to the fucking person.
Okay.
Be like, hey, I'm sorry. I don't feel like I want to hug you right now. This is so passive aggressive. What's her sign? I know it's a water sign. It's a water sign.
I'll Google it while
This is anti-Sagittarius discrimination right here, because this is what we cannot put up with. Just say it to someone's face. Don't be hugging. Yay! And then she was like doing one of these.
Guess what? What? Her sign is actually very relevant. She's a Libra. And those motherfuckers they want to avoid conflict.
She has that hot Libra face.
Yeah,
though.
I'm like, it's actually perfect that she's a Libra. And actually, astrology is real because Doja Cat is a Libra, because that is exactly what Libras are fucking about.
I have a lot of biracial feelings about Doja. And I know, obviously, we're not the same race mix, but we are half white biracials. And let me tell you, weakest link. Weakest fucking link. Weakest link. Half white biracials.
Oh, half white biracials.
And her mom is white? Ooh.
Yeah,
white mom
tough.
Biracials. Weakest
that's
link. Tough. Take there your trail mix and get out of my face.
Yeah, so.
Just kidding. No, but it plays into that racial hatred thing. Do you know what I mean?
Like, she
always dates nerdy white guys.
I mean, she dated a white supremacist streamer.
She only dates nerdy white guys.
Yeah. And, well. Another online controversy is that she slid in the DMs of one of the guys from Stranger Things.
Who was, like, underage,
and
right?
Like
no, she... But, okay, he Yikes. Was underage, but she was like, can you hook me up with your coworker?
Oh.
And then he posted it, and she's like, why the fuck would you post... I was on her side for that.
Yeah,
but then
fine.
She did... Guess who was in London with his hands on her booty? The
who?
Stranger Things guy.
Wow. Anyway,
okay.
Good for
the
her.
Guy in the video is this influencer by the name of Tom Mayo. And he has 476,000 followers on TikTok, and he sells shirts for $25 to $30 that say things like "Hot boys kiss boys, hot girls kiss girls." I love munching. LA transplant. So just the most annoying things you've ever seen.
Yeah, I want to cancel him just for his shirts.
Like, huh?
Ooh. Boring shirts.
Corny ass shirts. So the guy is an influencer. He posts up and he's trying to like push his shirts because I guess that's how he makes money. So he posted this TikTok after Doja posted
I'm getting
her.
So invested.
Roll the tape, hurry.
I just want to clear this up because it hurts. Hi guys, I was just at a party and I got informed that Doja said some shit about me on Twitter. I just want to clear this up because it hurts, because I loved her. I watched her at Coachella. I've never claimed to be the biggest fan, but I really stan her and I think what her work is amazing. I just think it's crazy because she's the one at this event that was being so nice. And she said, she pointed out my shirt and I said, and I like that. And then when I went outside and she was outside, I was like, girl, you'd be the perfect girl for my Pride collection. And she said, what do you mean? What Pride collection? I said, oh, I released this t-shirt, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to give you one. She said, I'd want one right now. And I said, oh, I could give this one to you. She said, no way, you're not going to give this to me. And that's when the video started and she was being so sweet and amazing. And I thought that's what it was. And now guys, she's on Twitter saying she threw that musty shirt away. She's saying that I didn't know her name, that I manhandled her, all this stuff.
I know.
I understand, guys. If I was being like too nice or whatever, I will take full accountability. No. I'm gay. No. I would never want to make her feel uncomfortable. She's so iconic. I have only been saying the nicest things about her. She's the sweetest celebrity. She made me feel so seen. She said, Ami, I thought she was nice. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this is for publicity or for whatever, guys, but I would have never wanted to make her uncomfortable. I would have never even filmed if she didn't say yes, guys. That video that we filmed was after everything. And I don't want to be that guy that comes on emotional or whatever, but I feel like I'm always the butt of the joke. Like, why am I the punching bag, bro? Like, literally, like, nothing happened other than her liking my shirt. I offered it to give it to her. She doesn't have to keep it. She doesn't have to do whatever. But she was obviously down, like, and I understand she has to set her boundaries. She's a celebrity. I'm not. I will never understand that. So I value that and I appreciate and I get that. But for me, guys, I'm a normal ass person that's at a bar, meets Doja Cat. I just released my clothing drop for Pride and I just offered to give her one. And she said, oh, I want one right now. Size small. I had the size. I was like, here, take it. I apologize if I did anything wrong at all. But guys, I'm a human being too. And honestly, this just shows me, I guess, that maybe not everybody's who they show in person. I would have never said anything other than she's the sweetest girl ever, but I guess she went on a whole tweet rant about me. I never claimed to have it all laid out to know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just at a bar, released a clothing drop. Doja was being very sweet to me. And also, guys, I know I didn't know her first name.
Okay, we're done.
We're done.
Back on Doja's side.
Another 30 seconds of that. Okay, so then he uses this opportunity to sell his shirts. He posted this, like, if I'm so musty, why did you say I smell good? Then he posted this. She wants to promote her album. I'll promote my clothes. And now he made a shirt that says musty ass shirt. There's no way that this merch isn't from, like, direct from China. Like, he's selling trucker hats for $10. Like, this is like garbage.
Yeah, it's back to our drop ship combo that bullshit. We've never fully been able to have. We can't even get into drop ship discourse.
And then he did this one. He posted this. He said, so I threw that musty shirt away. And it's a shirt from Doja Cat, The Scarlet Experience. I think it's like, a Spotify. So I don't know if this was an actual concert or if it was like a Spotify, like, influencer invite only event.
Yeah. It seems like an official shirt he received in some capacity. About Doja Cat.
So there are tweets that are pro this guy, pro Doja Cat, and neutral. So let's see what some people express, and then I'll ask you guys for your opinion. So let's go on the fan side, the fan, which is Pablo. This is what people have to say. Somebody said, she's not the victim. She's just a mean girl who feeds on attention, eye-roll emoji. Another tweet says, she could have expressed her views on social media about such boundaries in a nicer way. No need to be nasty. Somebody else says, went out of her way to say you smell so good and can be overly nice, then tweets that LMAO weird and she wrong. You can be uncomfortable and not do all the extra she was doing. God forbid a fan gets excited. I think there's a bunch of people saying they act like her when they're uncomfy. Please don't come nowhere near me. I hate fake people. I'd rather you tell me you hate me to my face. So that is the pro fan side saying that, like, Doja Cat is wrong. This is people on Doja's side. Somebody said, loved her and stand her, but didn't even know her real name, which is the name of her first album. LMAO, fuck out of here. So that's one. Another one said, a lot of people shared their, like, positive fan stories of, like, I met Amala once at the store. As a huge fan, I was shaking, but she was insanely sweet. Hugged me. She loved my vibe. Asked for my at and posted our selfie. Like, met the cutest fan today. She even secretly paid for my bill. I was literally fighting back tears. Somebody showed a screenshot of how this guy was grabbing her. And you can see her arm, like, tissue.
Yeah, he's got, like, her in a vice grip.
He's
for
got
sure.
her in a thick grip, like, it's going through. So people, like, zoomed in on that and shared that. Like, he was manhandling her. Like, he shouldn't have done that. Somebody else said, this image makes me cringe. He can be gay, but he's a man. And you should behave like one/respect her as a woman. It's feeling a little turfy to me, but we'll move on. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the things. And somebody says, what's so crazy about this is people calling her fake as if she isn't a famous person. Being under 24/7 surveillance by complete strangers. And even if she did speak up for herself, the same people would be like, she's so ungrateful, she's conceited, etc. Y'all are cooked. That is the pro Doja things. And now we have the neutral. So this is what someone said. Someone said, treating a celebrity like your bestie and being up all up on her without her permission at all is weird. Acting like you're fine just to air him out on Twitter later is also weird. Then we have Doja and Pablo Guy are both in the wrong, to be honest. LOL. He was too comfortable with her and invaded her space, but she also is a celebrity, and calling him out publicly after the fact sucks because it'll make thousands of people judge him and she looks fake. The lesson here is don't touch people. Let's hear thoughts.
Think I'm in the neutral, both are wrong camp. I think I agree with that first tweet you just read. He was touching her too much. Yeah. I think it's a little bit, it's a lot. Again, the vice grip on the arm. It's just a little too much to touch anyone. Maybe one hug. I get it. You're excited, whatever. But he did have that line where he's like, I'm gay. I would never make anyone uncomfortable. And it's like, a gay man can make a woman uncomfortable. Yeah. A gay man can make a man uncomfortable. Like, anyone can make anyone uncomfortable. Yeah. That's not it. So I would err on the side of not touching strangers, especially celebrities who probably get manhandled and have weird experiences all the time. Yeah. That said, I think it is petty for her to have posted the tweet in a way that so clearly identifies him and saying the stuff about, like, I threw the musty ass shirt away, like all of that. I just feel like when I think back to Chapel Roan being like, I've had these experiences. People keep calling me my real name in public. I don't like that. Please don't do that. I think there was a way that she could have said, I've had some experiences lately with people touching me when they meet me. I love you guys, but like, I don't want to be touched like that. Please stop. I feel like she didn't have to do it in a way that came back to him specifically, because I do feel like, I mean, I guess he was trampling on her boundaries, but it was an unexpressed boundary in a way where maybe he should have known better. But at the same time, I just don't get a malicious energy off of him.
So I will say, if this changes anything, people started digging into him and realized, like, he kind of has that stick with all these other celebrities. He gets very friendly. He has pictures with Rihanna where he's all up on her. He has pictures with a lot of other kind of famous women that he, like, does that and tries to use them to promote his shirt. So I don't know if that changes anything, but I'm just like,
it's his personality. It's just
his
over
thing
the top.
Is that he tries to find really famous people to use them to promote his shirt.
I feel like he has the kind of, like, we should look up his astrology sign, but he has that, like, kind of vibe that there are lots of people that are like that, and I just, like, I'm not into it because they're just like this. And I feel like when I see people like that, I do act like Doja Cat, where I'm just like, yeah, great.
And I
then
feel like
afterward,
it's like
you, I feel like, oh, God, I hate that guy like that.
I think that you have this thing that a lot of New Yorkers have. I know you're not, like, I don't know if you're a native New Yorker. No. I don't think so. But, like, there is this thing, Josh Laura has said it, where it's like, when you feel that air of desperation, it's a huge turnoff. I mean, it's the same thing.
I'll
with
just
Sabrina.
Be like, hey, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be like, yay, like that. I'd just be like, this is a lot. Like, I'll just say something like that. I'm like, I don't want your shirt, bro.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody.
Yeah.
So you say they're neutral?
First I was like, Doja Cat's acting really fake. But then I saw his video and I was like, ew, this is the worst kind of person.
You got an ick off him.
You got an ick, and
like,
you called out that he was
fake
crying.
Reel it in, bro. Come on, bro. Like, nobody, like, you know, he's lived his entire life with that personality.
Yeah.
You know, he's gotten, like, fucking feedback on, please stop touching my arm. And he's just like, something's not clicking. And that's like privilege, you know, like, you can call it male privilege or whatever, but, like, You don't touch people, and, like, you know, I know people like that with that personality, and I feel bad because, like, that's their cross to bear on this planet.
That is their cross to
They're
bear.
Just like, I'm just too friendly, I guess. And it's like, oh, I don't know what's going on with you, but, like, yeah, just reel it in a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I mean, the whole she's, if this was a friend, like, I think it's like, if it's a friend or something and they don't say something, but then they post, like, I think it is, like, corny. But I'm also just like, she is a celebrity.
Yeah.
I was thinking back to, I have a friend who's, you know, a friend of a friend who's like a really famous comedian right now.
Yeah.
And my friend was at a gay event and they saw this person and were like, hey, what's up? And they were like having a genuine conversation.
Yeah.
And this person that neither of them know interrupts them and is like, hey, so why'd you do that movie that sucked? To, like, and then,
oh,
like,
yeah.
My,
so that's, yeah.
The mutual friend, like, the famous comedian, like, they can't be a dick to that person because then that person's going to go and say, oh, well, I met this comedian and they were, you know what I mean? And it's just like, you kind of have to.
Yeah, people act so weird around celebrities,
I get that. So I don't necessarily agree that, like, her being fake nice was her being fake or something.
I don't like
that thing. I think that where she with the misstep was her posting about it. And then also, I will say, like, this is not like I was a gay kid in the middle of nowhere and hearing a Mariah Carey song changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm your biggest fan. Yeah, and I feel like we're friends. You know, because it does make a difference. Because it's like
trying to sell shirts.
Yeah, you're trying to sell shirts. You don't know me.
It's very transactional.
And that's what she was also saying. She's like, you don't even know my first name. And like, if you were really a fan, you would know my name because that's my album and all this stuff. And like, you're just using me. Like, I'm not a human being to you.
I agree. I'm on Doja's side 100%.
But I don't think she should have posted about it.
That's kind of where I'm like, basically double tap on everything that you just said. I've been hearing
you
people say double tap
my nut milk.
Yeah, I double tap your nut milk here because I don't begrudge her acting nice in the moment because again, she knows the camera's on her. It's weird. Hmm. I have a hard time as just a regular person asserting boundaries without having all these other considerations. The one thing is, I personally, if I were Doja Cat, would post a more coded and general message that's like, hey, don't fucking touch me, rather than like directing it very specifically at him when like you do know that you have a huge fan base. This guy is misguided and annoying. Like, I get an ick off him too, but I don't know that he necessarily needs to have like a bunch of Doja fans in his comments being like, you've grabbed her, you've manhandled Doja. Like, I don't
know. I don't know if that was happening or not, but I think like it made it worse without his video.
Yeah.
But I will also say, like, that is why I define her like onlineness and her brain rot being specifically 4chan behavior. Because I feel like there's a kind of person who just like uses the internet and Twitter as their diary and say and communicate things. Like, it's a kind of instinct that it's like you shouldn't have when you're famous.
Yeah.
And also you shouldn't have in general. Like, there's just so many people who like, I don't know, like I had a friend, they were going to brunch and then the girl's like, hey, I can't make it. I'm not feeling well. And then post like 3 memes that were like on her stories that are like, love when I cancel plans with an annoying friend.
Oh my God.
Oh, hey, wow. Damn.
But like, that's how some people use the internet, you know, is like their way to, it's crazy.
Do they not know we also have access to the internet or?
Then they delete it. They dirty delete, you know? So, okay. So we're all kind of like on the, both of them are wrong. Doja Cat was, you know, shouldn't have posted it. And he is annoying. Grass Nation, make your voice heard. We're going to have a poll and tell us, who do you think is wrong? Do you think both of them are wrong? Do you think Doja Cat was wrong because she has more power? Do you think Pablo has, you know, more power because he's a man? What's going on? The fake crying? Who's annoying? What? Make your voice heard. And with that, that's the end of our show.
Wow, this is a Go Touch Grass first. We will announce this week's grasshole retroactively in next week's episode.
Wow. I feel something new coming.
I know. I'm like, wow, the energy is electric in here. This is crazy. This has never happened in the history of Go Touch Grass
before.
And it's
because we had, an Alif? MILF?
And we had
An ILF?
A Sagittarius ILF?
Say you.
ILF. Here in studio. Wow. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thanks for having
me. Why don't you tell us where we can find you?
I'm at YM Mayor on social media. TikTok is Young Me Mayor. That's about it.
Beautiful.
Read her book. I'm laughing because you're crying.
I'm laughing because watch out for the sequel. I'm laughing because you're crying.
I'm laughing
A story about men.
How to block a guy. How to block a guy
How to block a guy like this.
It's one-page long book. Beautiful. Young Me, you were an amazing guest. We loved having you. If anyone wants to follow this podcast, you can do it at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. And you can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
And you can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and TikTok and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. And until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Gorge, it's me, Got Mick.
And me, Violet Tchotchke.
And we want you to listen to our podcast,
No Gorge,
now on HeadGum. Each episode, we will be bringing you vlogs, answering burning questions, discussing what's going on right now, and diving into all things fashion, hookups, gossip, and more.
With past guests such as Heidi Klum and Dita Von Teese, No Gorge always keeps things hot.
Listen to No Gorge on your favorite podcast app or watch full video episodes on YouTube.
New episodes every Thursday. Bye, Gorge.
Hi there, my name is Allison Williams. If you know who I am at all, it would probably be thanks to my job as an actress on shows like Girls and in movies like Megan. Recently, when I was having a moment of gratitude for my group chat, I thought, I wish everyone could have these geniuses at their fingertips like I do. Well, now you do.
Hi, it's Hope.
Hey, babe.
It's Jamie.
Welcome to our podcast, Landlines, where we share our life-sustaining and shame-extinguishing friendship.
We have known each other and we've been friends for a very long time.
Hope was my first best friend, but it wasn't mutual.
I mean,
I distinctly remember
I feel so
calling her on the
this.
Phone and asking if she'd sit next to me on the bus, and she said maybe.
At least she didn't say no.
Maybe is meaner.
She wasn't sure.
Maybe it's like discerning.
When I was pregnant, I started this group chat to prepare and crowdsource, and it's been such a delight to troubleshoot with our friend group. And we just had this thought, should we invite other people into our group chat? I'm a therapist.
I'm a trained early childhood educator.
And I'm, well, you know, whatever I am, I guess someone who has the vibe of having it all together. And still, the three of us find it hard to be moms, partners, friends, family members, professional women, and just, you know, adults.
The stuff we're talking about, whatever the recent fight was with our partner or the parenting concern we have or a funny thing with our kids, or it's like, what's going on with my body? I feel like I have like a family of squirrels living in my lower abdomen. Like, I feel affirmed. I feel normalized. I feel like I'm not going fucking crazy.
And I had to talk it out with you guys with different perspectives and different identities that you're juggling.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Lifelong friendship has been our lifeline. We sincerely hope our conversation makes you feel less alone in whatever you're going through. So subscribe to Landlines on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are out now on HeadGum.
Love you.